We are starting a new series this morning, and I have called it G3. Hey. And G3 represents the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In all of this, what I want you to get is we're going to teach on the Godhead. We're going to teach on the Trinity. But now, this is what I'm not going to break down each individual, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and talk about them in different aspects. I'm not going to point out what they do differently of each other. What we're going to talk about in this series is what they do as one, as together. Now, I do want to say this too. There are denominations that teach that there is only Jesus.
Oh, no.
You've never heard that? Some people are shocked at that. There are some denominations that teach there is only Jesus and Jesus alone, which I think is kind of funny because if you read the scriptures and you go back, how about the baptism of Jesus by John? Remember that story? Jesus was baptized, the cloud split, the Holy Spirit came down like as a dove, and then God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." So if it's only Jesus alone, then he's a great ventriloquist as well. Okay, I'm the only one that finds that a little funny. And so I do want to say that there is the Father, there is the Son, yes, and there is the Holy Spirit. Yes. We can even go all the way back to Genesis to find that this is true. So Genesis says, "In the beginning, let us." You know, God created. That word God there is Elohim, which Elohim means it's not a singular. It's not God. It's gods. So when God said, we're going to create heaven and earth. We're going to do this. In the beginning, God created. That God, Elohim, God is saying, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit created the world together. They functioned as one, but they created it together. And we even see that the Holy Spirit moved upon the waters, and then the waters separated. The land came up. And let me get in this too. Don't get hung up on how long it took the Lord to do this. Okay, let's not get hung up on that. Because I think too many people make that a big deal, and that's not a big deal.
No, that's right.
It's not a big deal. Because one, God, before there was no clocks, no one keeping time. And God is infinity. Try to wrap your brain. We're going to get on that today too. God is, there was no beginning and there was no end. God did not have a mommy and daddy God. You know, that wasn't there. God always existed. God existed before man. God existed before animals. God existed. And let me tell you this. If you want to know what came first, the chicken or the egg, the chicken. It's in the Bible. It's in there. God created the animal. So it wasn't the egg first. It was the chicken. So we have now answered that, pondering question that mankind has been going at for a long time. The answer was in the Word. And so in all of this, God created. There is a three-part being. They are separate. And I like the scripture that goes back to explaining husbands and wives. When they marry, that they become one. They become one. And married people, how many has been married more than 5 years? Let me see your hands. Okay. More than 10 years. Keep them up. Keep them up. Y'all put them down. More than 15. Oh, okay. Hands have gone down. Oh. One hand went down and the wife looked and the hand had to go back up. Don't mean to get you in trouble this morning. All right. How many have been married more than 20 years? More than 30 years? Good Lord. 35. 40. All right, why don't you just tell me your hands are the only ones up? 49 this year.
Wow.
This week. Last week. 49 years. I am so sorry, Rose, that you've had to put up with Bob that long. I'm just kidding. Now, that's fantastic. Congratulations. That's awesome. I can mess with Bob. Bob always messes with me. But this is it. As you become, if you have spent that much time together, you begin to think a lot like each other, or have a hard time trying not to think a lot like each other, but you know what the other one's thinking. You become more like them, whether you like it or not. And then as much as they irritate you, can I get an amen, Rose? As much as they irritate you, you see it coming. You know it's coming. And then they make a statement, normally the wife, not that I have experience of this. I knew you were going to do that. And then the husband says, I knew you were going to say that. And so they know. And I remember me and Jesse this year in November will be 5 years together. Yeah, I know, right? We got a little bit of time to catch up with Bob and Rose, but we're working on it. And so in all of this, I remember the first time that something crossed my brain and I kind of smiled because something I thought, and Jesse looked at me and she said, "I know what you're thinking." And when she did, all of a sudden, a look of panic, after she said that, a look of panic gripped her face. And I said, and I knew what she was thinking, which is funny. And what she was thinking is, "Oh my God, I'm starting to understand how he thinks." And that was a scary thought, that she was getting up here and understanding how this works. Because no one's ever claimed that my brain process and thought is normal. A lot of people have tried to figure that out, and they can't. But she is starting to understand how my brain works, which scares her a little bit. I think she may be over that now, but then again, who knows? All right. And so we want to get into this, and I want you to remember. Now, when Jesse looked at me and understood something, it's because this is a work in progress. We're becoming more one together. Now, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son were one from the beginning. They were complete. They knew you. If you could separate God from Jesus, God the Father from God the Son, and God the Son from God the Holy Spirit, and put them in different parts of the universe and talk to them alone without them knowing what we're saying, and we ask them a question, they'd give us the same answer. John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh." Now, see, oh, this is interesting. This just came to my mind. Now, we have a scripture in Genesis, "In the beginning." That was in the beginning the creation of the world. Now, John is not talking about the creation of the world. He's saying, in the beginning, before there was anything, there was God. And in the beginning, God was the Word, and the Word was God. And so we have the scripture that tells us Jesus was the Word made flesh. He was the Word made flesh. So let's not get John confused with in the beginning of the creation of the world. We're talking about in the beginning of the beginnings. There is no beginning to God. Doesn't that, I mean, when you think about this, literally think about this, it kind of can make your brain go tilt, tilt, tilt to kind of understand. Before there was a son, there was a God. And I'm not talking, S-O-N, S-U-N, sun, bright and burning sun. Before there were planets, there was a God. Before there were angels, there was a God. And I want to get rid of some thoughts that have penetrated through the church for a while. We're going to discuss some of these things and get into why God created the world, why God created angels. Because I was told some reasons, and they were wrong. They were wrong. And I'm going to see if what you were told, maybe, have you ever heard why? Maybe you were told wrong. And so unless it's scripture, then it is wrong. Are very, good guess. Okay, so let's continue to read. Let's go to Job chapter 22 and verse 21. So in this series, I'm not going to talk about the different functions of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about them as being one, attributes to them. What I would like to do is take theological definitions of words or words that theologians have come up with that we use in church, or a lot of churches use all the time, but people have an idea what they mean, but not really knowing what they mean. So this morning, we're going to look at the sovereignty of God. And I want you to be able to walk out of here and understand the sovereignty of God. How many of you used to be Catholic? Oh, whew, there's a whole lot of you. And you probably know what the sovereignty of the Lord is to a degree. But we're going to get into that. Or maybe you didn't pay attention in catechism. Maybe it was a long time ago, so we're going to look at them again. So Job 22 and verse 21, it says, "Acquaint now thyself with him." Who's him? Who are we talking about? God. So acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Hereby good shall come unto thee. Now the word acquaint here, I love that the Bible uses the word acquaint yourself with God. One, it would never tell you to do something you cannot do. A lot of people are like, "Well, I can't know God." Huh, that's strange. The book of Job says you can. It says you can know him. It says acquaint yourself. Now the word quaint here, comes from the Greek word sanhan. Yeah, that's close. That's a southern speaking Hebrew. It is the Hebrew word, if you want to look it up in the concordance for yourself, it's number 5532. And it means to show harmony with and be familiar with. You can be familiar with the Lord. And get this now. We talk about this all the time. Christianity should not be a religion. It should be a relationship with the Lord. And if you're going to have a relationship with somebody, you should know someone. You should know who they are. You should know how they function, what they like, what they dislike, whether they are or are not lactose intolerant. You should figure that stuff out. You know that? You know, when I got married, I started learning what my wife liked to eat. She likes to eat a lot of stuff, a lot of crazy stuff. Well, it was crazy to me because I was plain. I was very, very plain eater. And then I got married, and all of a sudden, she wants to take me to some restaurants that I would have never stepped foot in. But one thing I learned was I kind of like some of these places. And some things I learned was I really hate that. That's terrible. I'm going to tell you something. If it's green, it should be a Skittle. That's not true. That's not true. But that was my philosophy before I was married. If it's green, it should be Skittle, taste the rainbow. Because if it's green, it has if it's got vegetables in it. Have you ever vitamins in it? Have you ever bit into a vitamin? They taste horrible. You know why? They have vitamins in them. The same thing with all that. So, but, you know, things changed and I got to know her and she brought things into light for me that really found out that I really loved that I would never have known without knowing her. And so when we become to know God and know who he is, what decisions he would make, what was that WWJD bracelets that went out a long time ago that became really popular, what would Jesus do? Well, we should know what he would do for the majority. He gave us a book. He was the Word made flesh. We should be imitators of the Word made flesh. We should be acting in the flesh, the Word. Yes. When people look at us, they should say, that's what the Word would do. Amen. What does Jesus say about this? What does the Word say about that? What does God say about that? Well, people should be able to know because that's how we react. And you might say, well, Pastor, I haven't been perfect at that. Well, join the club. Amen. Let's continue to work on it and have the Word functioning through us more and more as we go. But we should be in harmony with God. We should be working hand in hand. Have you heard something out of harmony? Have you ever listened? I don't know. Has anybody been paying attention? I'm talking too much about outside stuff. But have anybody been paying attention to the Italian Idol? Or no, what is that? Where are the chairs that turn around? The Voice. Has anybody been paying attention to the Italian Voice? The Voice of Italy? Anyone? Oh, I actually saw one hand. The only reason I'm paying attention to it and watching it, I'm watching it online, is because a nun auditioned and she made it. Has anyone seen that online or YouTube? Okay, a couple people. I've been following it every week, watching the nun. They're terrible. All the singers are pretty bad. The nun's okay, but she's not that great of a singer. I don't know why. It's the mix of the sound, but they hit off key and it doesn't harmonize with each other. And it's just bad. And I'm not good with music. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that in my car when singing, you don't ever want to hear me sing. Sometimes I sing and I have music, like in the shower, I turn my music on and I listen to it. And sometimes I hinder my own self from singing. The Bible says, make a joyful noise. I say, I make a joyful racket unto the Lord. And so in all of this, they're not that great. And I've had it turned up and my wife is here. What is that? That's so bad. And I'm like, it's the Voice of Italy. She's like, how did they make it on the show? I mean, like, I don't know. But so in all of this, I've heard things that are out of harmony and it doesn't fit very well. And there are Christians living today that are they know the Lord. They know the music. They know the song and they're singing it, but it's out of harmony with what the Lord would do. And it just doesn't jive together. It just doesn't fit well together. There are people that claim Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and I do not doubt their Christianity. I do not doubt that they're on their way to heaven. I do not doubt that they know the Lord. But sometimes our relationship with the Lord is not where it needs to be. Some people act out of hate in the name of God when they should be acting out of love in the name of God. And this has happened in Christianity all the time. It still happens today, but it's even happened in our past. The Crusades. Oh, that was evil, pure evil, hate. And it was done in the name of the Lord. And they were out of harmony with God. And so God wants his people to be in harmony. Have you ever seen a marriage that was out of harmony? Maybe for a period of time, your marriage was out of harmony. And then we work on those things and we get into harmony with the Lord. we become as one with the Lord. And when that hits, when you're able to come into harmony, it's a beautiful thing. And when you come into harmony with the Lord, it's a beautiful thing. All of a sudden, you are the Word manifested on this earth. You are doing the will of God in your everyday. And don't let that throw you off. I say that and people automatically go to ministry and start thinking of, I don't know, people with bullhorns or, you know, signs. I don't know what you think of. But it goes to like ministry. No, you need to go to work in the harmony of the Lord. You need to function in your family in the harmony of the Lord. You need to drive in the harmony of the Lord. Especially with all this construction and people cutting you off. I got cut off twice yesterday. I needed to be in the harmony with the Lord. Okay? And so we need to be in harmony in everything we do with the Lord. Now, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are in harmony with each other. And the Bible tells us in Job that we can be acquainted and have harmony with God. You can write this scripture down. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches." Verse 24 says this, "But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me." What has religion told us? What has Christianity told us forever? You can't understand God. Oh, I'm sorry. What does Jeremiah says? Not only can you understand the Lord, you can know him. You know, when Jesse first married me, I keep going back to marriage. She didn't understand the way my brain worked. And the fact that she started to understand it scares her. And if you understood it and got into this brain process, it probably would scare you a little bit too. But the more time we spend with God, the more we research, the more we understand him, the more we read about him, the more we come into harmony with him. We should have a harmony with the Lord. Exodus 15, write this down. Exodus 15, 11. Who is like unto the Lord? O Lord, among the gods. Now, I want to put this down here real quick. It's little G-O-D, and it means religions. Among the religions, who is like thee? Glory in holiness, fearful in praise and doing wonders. You know, you can look at religions all over the world. And they make you work unto the Lord. They make you work. And this is how religion works. Are you ready? Religion, even in Christianity, when Christianity becomes a religion, this is how it happens. You do really good stuff. You work hard. You give enough money. You do enough things. And different religions around the world are all different. Some of them are, you beat yourself up enough. There's one with whips and razors, and they beat themselves until they're bloody, and blood runs down their backs to the streets are full of blood. There's one that makes you crawl on your knees up a temple, and by the time you get there, the skin is scraped off your knees, and there's a trail of blood behind you. And as you do these things, you present it unto the Lord, and the Lord sees your sacrifice. He approves of your sacrifice, and he gives it back to man with an approval stamp on it. And you work. And you work, and you work, and you work, and you put yourself at a disadvantage. You put yourself down. You do all this, and then as you do enough, then God approves. No. That's not Christianity. Christianity says you were pre-approved before the foundation of time. Before the world was ever created, before there were ever any angels, God says, I knew you. I approved of you. God approved of you before you were ever thought about. Before your parents ever approved of you or disapproved of you. Before that ever happened, God said, I approved you. Christianity is the only one that says, I accept you just like you are. And with me, I'm going to help you be better. I'm going to help you grow. I'm going to get you to the place. I have a destiny for you. I have a life for you. I know what will make you happy. I'm your creator. And I'm going to help you get there. I'm going to help you get there. Isn't that something? The gospel is that we know where we stand. The good news. I think that's amazing. You know, most religions, they say work, 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 work. And then in the end, we'll try to figure out if we made it. We have to wait to the very end to know. Get before the throne of God or whatever God they serve, whatever religion they serve. And they say, then whoever will let us know if we've made it. Christianity says, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it is over. It is done. You are pre-approved and you're on your way to heaven. The Bible actually says that the only way to heaven is through God, is through Jesus, accepting him as your Savior. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, it's done. There are no more questions. No more questions. You're accepted. It's over. How do you get to heaven? Jesus. How do you not get to heaven? Not Jesus. Mm-hmm. All right. Y'all making me wonder what you're thinking this morning. My life is secure in God. And the Bible tells us that for Christians, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. No questions. Now, from this scripture, I want to look at a couple things. It tells us that there is no God like our God. He is unique. Most religions tell you where their God started. They could tell you when they were born, how they died, how old they were, when they went to heaven, and how they became God. They can even tell you where their God lived. One religion told us where their God lived until we landed on the moon. And then they said that it could not be where God lived because God would have killed an American for landing on his heaven. I don't know why that makes me laugh, but it does. I want to be very clear. There is never a time where God was not God. There was never a time where Jesus was not Jesus. There was never a time when the Holy Spirit was not the Holy Spirit. It always was. You remember me talking about going tilt a little? That'll make you go tilt. God is not a mind. He is a spirit, and he always has been. And sometimes we put mentalities on God that fit our world. And we put attributes, instead of taking the Father's attributes, sometimes we try to make the Father have our attributes. And it doesn't work that way. Man has a beginning. Animals have a beginning. The earth has a beginning. The universe has a beginning. Angels have a beginning. But God does not have a beginning. That's good. There was a time where there was God and God alone. Now, I want to get to this because I was told this. God did not create people because he was lonely. Anybody? I just want to show of hands. How many said people? God was lonely, so he created mankind. You heard that one? I'm so proud of y'all. Y'all didn't get a whole lot of junk, apparently. Y'all, good for you. But I was told that God created mankind because God was lonely. God was not lonely. Man cannot be self-sufficient. We can't be self-sufficient. If you take away all the oxygen in the world, what happens to us? We die. If you cut down every tree on the earth at one time, what's going to happen to us? We die. What happens if an asteroid hits the earth and a humongous cloud covers the earth and there's no sunlight coming through? What kind of happens to us? Oh, freeze to death. We got many theories. Freeze to death. Die. You go, we get to see the Lord. There's so many things. This is what? We are not self-sufficient. We cannot survive without other things. We can only last so long without food. We can only last so long without water. We are not all sufficient in one, but God has always been self-sufficient. The Bible tells us the Lord never changes. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. So God has been here for eternity. How long do you have to live before you get lonely? See, we're putting a human attribute on the Lord. We're trying to make him fit how we feel. And God doesn't fit how we feel. Amen. He's never been lonely. He did not create angels because he needs someone to praise him. I mean, how egotistical do we think God is? That would be like me saying, y'all had children because you needed slaves. Because when I was a kid, I thought that. Because we had chores. I know your kids have chores. I remember telling him, when I get older and I get married and I have kids, I'm going to make them slaves just like you did me. And you know what he told me? You can. That's exactly what he told me. I wasn't really a slave, but I remember when one of the rules that he had was that when he rattled his glass, ice would shake. It was my time to get up and grab his glass and go fill it with tea. And it always irritated me because I'm here like, couldn't you chose a better part in the movie to shake your glass? I mean, like, we are at a fight scene here. I need to see what happens with Bruce Lee. And he shakes his glass. And one time he had to shake it twice. That never happened again. But one time he shook it twice. And so I just remember thinking, you just had us for slaves. You needed people to serve you. You needed people to clean your house. You got tired of vacuuming. You got tired of scrubbing the toilet. You got tired of raking leaves. You got tired of cutting grass. So you had children. And sometimes we put that attribute on the Lord, and it doesn't sound so ridiculous until we actually say it out loud. God created the angels because he needed someone to praise him. Bull. He was self-sufficient on his own. He did not become more happier when he created mankind. He didn't become happier when he created us. He was happy on his own. Now, it did bring the Lord joy. We see that. It brings God pleasure. God's actually a giver. I believe the reason why he created so much stuff was so he could give it away. He's always been a giver. His whole existence, he's a giver. And so, you know, God is self-sufficient. I want to say this. The good news is that if God knew everything that was coming up, you know, when God created mankind, he knew that there would be a fall. He didn't create us to fall, but he knew there would be the way he created us. Do you know, and this is interesting. I'm just going to, can I get out there a little weird for a few moments?
Sure.
Some of you are like, really? You've not been in that yet? Okay. I just want to go out there with some thought process for a little bit. Are you ready? God created the angels. The angels had a judgment day. The angels had to decide whether they would serve God or not. They had that day. They had that moment. We have that same moment, that same opportunity. There is a sector of Judaism, a Jewish religion, that actually believes that we are the seventh creation, that mankind is seven. Number seven, complete. You know, the number means complete, whole. That we're the seventh time. We're the last one. I think, well, how would they know? And isn't it mankind to think that we're the perfect and complete one? I think that's funny. It would be us to say, yes, of course we're complete. But this is what I would like to say. We have no idea how many creations. I mean, we're talking about eternity here. We're talking about infinite. God, this is going to make me sound really weird. It makes me sound like I should be on the History Channel. Anybody watch History Channel? All right. How many creations are there? Who knows? The Bible even tells us that when we get to heaven, there will be things we've never seen before. And we know that there are things in heaven that we've never seen before. It talks about certain things that worship God with different body and head. And we don't know. What if, just side note, this opinion, mine, you know, you don't have to believe this. I give you warnings on stuff that I come up with that you don't have to believe. It's not the word. But what if these people that are things, that are beings that are praising him, are spirits just like we are? And they already had their moment, and they chose correctly, and they're in heaven today. What if they had their judgment moment, and they chose to be righteous? What if that's what's in heaven already? It's the creation of the Lord. And we do know that this earth will be destroyed and be recreated again in Revelations. Someone asked me, do you believe in global warming? The Bible says that God will burn this earth to a crisp. He will melt it. You can't get much hotter than that. God says it will happen. I don't know how. I'm not that smart. I didn't go to school for that. Let's keep going. I'm not going to get off here. But God's going to do this, and he's going to recreate it. Question, what if he comes up with another spirit being? What if he creates something else to live on this earth? Just a thought, just weird. Man, I should have my own History Channel. It would be awesome. Yeah, it would be fun. Talking about this stuff, what does it help? Nothing! And so that's why we don't fight about it. That's why we don't split hairs about it. But it's just interesting. Well, you might figure that is boring. But it's interesting to me. I'm kind of geeky that way. I get excited about theories that may never be proven. or may never happen. And I enjoy talking about them. I enjoy talking about creation. And one day we'll have those answers, but right now we don't, and it still interests me. And I like that. And I think it's kind of interesting that man would think that one, we're the only creation that God has ever created that worships and serves him. No, because we know the angels did. And who knows, we might not be the last. But whatever it is, God is sovereign. Now I want you to look at this. Malachi, let's turn there really quickly. Malachi 3. It's the scriptures that are your pages of your Bible that are still really white. Malachi 3, right before Matthew. God speaks here, verse 6, 3 and 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I changeth not." If he needed angels to worship him, he would have created them in infinite in the beginning. If he needed men, because he was mankind, I don't mean just men, mankind. If he would have needed mankind because he was lonely, he would have had to create them in the beginning, because God does not change. He does not change. So, if God is self-sufficient, then why did he create everything? This is where we're going into sovereignty. And I want to bring these words down to everyday language for you. Everyday language for you. What does sovereign mean? I asked this question to some of my friends. I asked this to some of my preacher friends. Some of it got it right. Some of them went on a long explanation that went around the block 5 times and then came back home to roost. Leave it to a theologian to make something difficult. To make the Bible difficult, you got to go to Bible college. All right. Or listen to a lot of preachers who did. Sovereignty, in its simplest form, means this. God can do whatever he wants to. Whatever he wants to. He doesn't have to ask your permission. He didn't have to ask mom's permission. He didn't have to have daddy's permission. God does what he wills when he wills it. And what he wants to do when he wants to do it. And now you may have wanted, if you were God, you might have done things differently. But guess what? You're not God. And you're not all-knowing. And so God did it the way he did it because he's sovereign. There are some things that are the sovereign will of Jesus. Hebrews, you can write this down, Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is in control, but he gave us free will, and that's the way he willed it. Amen. Did God know that mankind was going to fall? Yes, he did, and he created a way out in the beginning. Why did God give mankind free will? I've heard a lot of church examples, and some of them sound pretty good. But I'm just going to go tell you, I don't know 100%. Can I tell you what the church says? The church says God didn't want robots to serve him. Well, of course he didn't. He made humans with free will. But if I can't get into the mind of God and tell you exactly why he created us the way he created us. But I do know that we are in the image of God. And God has the ability to do what he wants. But we know what he would do by his word. You know, so God cannot sin. It's not in him. It's not in his makeup. You know, I try to explain it like this. God can't do anything bad. Why? Because it's not in him. Men, how many of you would ever say, you know what, I would like to one time experience the miracle of carrying a child. I've asked this several times. Not one man has ever raised. Oh, I saw a tiny hand go up, but I think it was held up by a lady. You ladies might wish that we could carry the child. But I'll tell you, we don't do that. I had a kidney stone one time. That's enough. We are not created for that. But let's say that there was a guy who wanted to have a baby on the inside of him. And he wanted it so bad with everything in him. Guess what? He can't. You know why? He doesn't have the equipment. God does not have the equipment to lie. He doesn't have the ability to be evil. It's not in him. It's not in him. And so God is not evil. And so God can't do evil things to you. It's not who God is. But why did God do what he did? He knew we were going to fall. He had a plan from the beginning. From eternity, he had a plan. He knew it. And they were one and they all agreed. They all agreed from the beginning. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, what about the fall of Satan? Well, God knew that too. Do you think the fall of mankind surprised the Lord? Do you think when he was in heaven, then when Adam and Eve, the original sin, God looked over at God the Son, the Holy Spirit, they all got together and said, ho, 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 we have to have an emergency meeting here. Who knew they were going to do this? I didn't see it coming. All right, plan B. Everybody, let's start working right now on plan B. No, God never had plan B. He knew what was going to happen. Why? Well, because he's sovereign. Well, why didn't he do it? I don't know. He's sovereign. Why didn't he come up with a better? I don't know. If you want to ask him that, go feel free to do so. Let me know what he says. I would really like to know. But this is good news. It's good news to know that God is in control. Now, does that mean if God is in control, everything that he does is his perfect will? Everything that's done on earth is his perfect will? No. Natural disasters are not his perfect will. Bridges collapsing are not his perfect will. Drunk drivers getting behind a wheel is not his perfect will. Car wrecks, not his perfect will. Murders, not his perfect will. That's not the will of God. No, did he know what was going to happen? Yes. He gave mankind free will to do as they please. To build bridges and not maintain them. To get drunk as Cooter Brown and drive. And you may question that stuff. I've questioned that stuff. But God is sovereign. This is the way he created us. Not that it was his will that we do these things. He made a way out for us and gives us the ability to choose to get out. I always wondered, this was a question of mine for a long time. Lord, why do some people seem like they keep falling in the same things over and over? Why are some people in a vicious cycle and don't get out of it? And I struggled with that. They say they want out. It would be better for their life if they quit going in that vicious circle. Why do they keep falling in? Well, free will has a lot to say about it. And they don't get off the path that they're in. They go back to familiar roads and familiar paths. And I can't give you every reason why someone does that. It's different for people, but I think there are some things that are the same. But God desires us to live a good life. And he created us to have the ability to choose. Why he didn't make it automatic, why he didn't make us serve him without free will, I don't know. But I do know he's sovereign, and that's the way he created us. So that's what the word sovereignty means. It's he's in control. He made the decision because he didn't need our permission, nor anyone else's. Y'all getting this? All right. So he wanted to. He wanted to. He desires to make all these things. Let's look at Ephesians. We're wrapping up here. I'm going to try to finish this up in less than 5 minutes. I saw a lot of smiles go on people's faces. Don't y'all smile when I tell you I'm done in 5 minutes. We knew you were. No, I'm not joking. I'm serious. I'm trying to. Y'all can time me on this. I'm trying to get done in 5 minutes. Ephesians 1 and 4 says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of what? The world. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God created us so that we could choose to be holy and without blame before him. Verse 5, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It pleases God for you to make the right decisions. God did not make you because he had to. He did not make us because he needed to. He did not make us because he needed your approval of anything that he did. He made us because it brings God pleasure. You bring the Lord pleasure. That's kind of awesome to think about. You bring God pleasure. When's the last time you heard that in church? I mean, we could just take a moment The rest of the 5 minutes, or four and a half, wherever we are, we could literally just sit here and think, I bring God pleasure. When I wake up in the morning, I bring the Lord pleasure. When I go to church, sing, praise Him, walk throughout my day, go to work, God enjoys my presence. He enjoys me being here. I don't know if you think that is awesome as I do. I bring God pleasure. I want you to say that. I bring God pleasure. That's wonderful. Do you have things in your life for no other reason than they bring you pleasure? There are things I keep that for no other reason bring me pleasure. I buy tools that I never need because they bring me pleasure. Sometimes I just like to go and hold tools that I don't even need. Before I was married, I always bought tools I didn't need. Now I have kids. I got to put food in their mouth, so I don't always get the tools I don't need. I got an air compressor with air compressor tools before I ever had a home or any use for them. You know why? I love air compressors. They're amazing. To be able to hold a nail gun and put nails in a wall. Or to hold down, I would never recommend this, or hold down the little safety feature and shoot nails at things. How great is that? It brings me pleasure to have these things. I've told this story before. I had someone ask me if I had a skill saw and some other tools. I said, I sure do. And I gave them to them for them to use, and they came back just apologetic to me. They said, Pastor, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm thinking they broke my tools. I thought they broke something. And they said, I said, what happened? They said, well, when I used your skill saw, it was perfect. There was no dust on it. There was no dirt on it. And I used it, and it got all dirty, and I tried to clean it. I took it apart, and I scrubbed certain things. And there's still dirt, and there's still pieces of wood that is on it, and I tried to get it spotless like you did. And I told him, I said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Not a big deal. What I did not tell them was that's the first time it was ever used. I never used it. It stayed in its case the whole time. Why did I have a skill saw? I like knowing that I have one. It brings me pleasure. Now, since that time, I have used it. Just want y'all to know. I got a house now. I've used it a couple times. But it brings me pleasure to have it. And there's things in our life that we have no reasoning to have them except it brings us pleasure. It brings us pleasure. You ain't got to have coffee. Oh, you say you do, but that ain't true. It brings you pleasure. And you ain't got to have that machine that makes that froth. It brings me great pleasure. And I even like every once in a while sprinkling some cinnamon on that froth. It brings me pleasure. I ain't got to have none of that. I like having it, though. Now, y'all keep with me. We're ending. Revelations 4:11, it says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. They are and were created. Everything that was, everything that is, was created. And its purpose was to bring God pleasure. It brings the Lord pleasure. God is self-sufficient, needing nothing outside himself. God created all but is independent of it all. He created everything, but he doesn't need anything. Hebrews 4:34 says, For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? God didn't need a counselor. God didn't need, for me, if I'm building something, I need some blueprints. I need some ideas. I got plans for my yard and patio and certain things of that nature, and I need people with good ideas to bring it in. God didn't need anyone to create anything. He didn't need a contractor to help him. He didn't create the angels. We're like, you know what? My ultimate goal is to create Earth, but I need some ideas, so I'm going to create angels to give me some. That's not the way it worked. He didn't need anything that he created. It brought him pleasure. 35 of Hebrews 11 says, Or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things. to whom be glory forever. Amen. God created things to give them away, and that brings God pleasure. For you to be happy, for you to have nice things, for you to enjoy that coffee maker, espresso maker, those tools that you never use or you use every day. Ladies, those little knickknacks that just collect dust. And those soaps that have no purpose that you can't even use them. Yeah, you know. And that potpourri that hasn't smelled good for 5 years. But it sits there. And those little towels that no one can use. I'm sorry I'm picking on ladies because I know them more. Guys, I'm trying to think of stuff. But everything I think we need makes sense. I'm sure it does. My wife's not here. I can say that. Yeah, she ain't going to listen to this. She hears me at home all the time. She ain't going to go to the podcast. Don't none of you tell her either. And so in all of this, God created this stuff. It gives him pleasure. And God says, I created things for mankind to give him pleasure, to give mankind pleasure. Because when we have pleasure, it brings God pleasure. You might not have had good parents to understand someone doing good for you that brings you pleasure, that gives them pleasure. But I do understand that. I understand it well. And as well as I understand it, God even so more wants to bring stuff into my life for no other purpose than it blesses me. Because when it blesses me, he's a happy daddy. He is a happy daddy when his children are blessed. The scripture I used this morning for offering. God takes pleasure when his servants prosper. Amen. You prospering brings God pleasure. Why? He's a good daddy. He cares about his kids. And when they do well, his heart lights up. It brings him pleasure. So, if you're anything like me, you say, well, Lord, bring it on. I want to pleasure you. I want to bring you all kinds of pleasure. So just bless my socks off. And he will. That's the good thing about the Lord. God is going to bring you great pleasure, great friendships, great marriages, great kids, great life, great job, great work, great everything. Whatever. Just think of something that would just bless your socks off. Anybody, you got it?
Yep.
Mine was a boat. What was yours? Shoes. Oh, goodness. These things bring God pleasure, and he wants to bring you pleasure. But the blessing of the Lord addeth no sorrow. So it doesn't mean we go out and max out credit cards because that adds sorrow. We don't take our debt to the max because that will add some sorrow really quick. So the Lord, we try to put attributes on the Lord that is our mentality, our mind, and our flesh. And we try to think that God works the same way. And he doesn't. He's independent of those things. God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And God wanted to bless you when he created you. He wants to bless you now, and he's going to continue to bless you all the days of your life. And then when we step into eternity, he still wants to bless us.
Thank you, Father.
Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Father, if our mentality about